Pseudopod number 44, June 29th, 2007. Today's story, Stockholm Syndrome by David Tollerman. Welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast. I'm Ben Phillips, co-editor along with Mer Lafferty. Hope you enjoyed last week's poignant take on the zombie apocalypse. I hope you're ready for a rendition that's a little more grim. Today's story is Stockholm Syndrome by David Tollerman, and it's previously unpublished. It's a view of the zombie holocaust that comments on human nature in the fine Romero tradition. If you squint your eyes a little, you can almost picture something analogous to this happening when the shit hit the fan after the hurricane in New Orleans or anywhere else society has unraveled and your neighbors have become faceless survivors that have to kill or be killed. Hold on to your humanity, because I've got a story for you, and I promise you it's true.
Stockholm Syndrome by David Tollerman. One of them, I called him Billy. He was more, animated than the rest of them. Mostly they just wander about. Occasionally they'll pick things up and then get bored and put them down and go back to wandering again. They don't make much noise. I guess they know that there are people around. For a few days, at the start, they bashed at the boards up over the windows and tried to push against the doors. They can't climb, and they ain't got much in the way of strength, so eventually they gave that up. And after that, they just shambled about, or sometimes just lay there. It's funny how sometimes they look like people and sometimes they don't. The first ones, the ones who came up out of the ground or wherever they were, I guess what you'd call the first generation. Some of them are pretty normal-looking. But the way they walk, that lumbering slow like they're taking baby steps and watching their feet all the time, that's what makes them so different. Of course, the other ones, the ones that the first generation got to, some of those are real messed up. Bits hanging off and big, messy wounds. Sometimes their faces are half off. They're just like dead people who are up and walking around. They're easier to deal with, I guess, even though it's pretty crazy to see them like that. But at least you know where you stood. So anyway, I was talking about Billy. Billy was the first generation through and through. I don't know what his story was, but when he turned up about 2 weeks ago, he was wearing a suit. A real nice suit. He even still had a carnation in his buttonhole. I don't know. Maybe they was burying him when it happened. You've got to wonder what they'd have thought when they was burying him and he got up like that. Anyway, he cut quite a figure when he walked up off Main Street in that suit. Well, not walked, you know. I guess he shambled as much as the rest of them. But somehow he seemed kind of smarter than the others. More alert. And in that suit, he reminded me of my kid. When we buried him. That's why I named him Billy. Billy made himself at home pretty quick. It didn't take him long to figure there were just two houses with people in. Mine, and the place over the road. Both of us had boarded ourselves in pretty good. Well, actually, I shouldn't go taking the credit for that. When I got here, after my car came off the freeway a couple miles up, I found this place pretty much like it is now. They got in through the window, and it was still left open. A couple of them had gotten in, and I figure the other two must have been the ones at whose house it was. Four is about as many as you can handle, up close like that. I had my old revolver still on me. I guess I was lucky, though, getting them before they got me. I guess it could have easily gone the other way. I hauled the bodies out the window and boarded it up again before the others figured out what had gone on. All in all, I was real lucky. There was a rifle here, with one of those telescopic sights and a whole load of tins, all sorts of things. They was all set to wait it out, and then they just must have gotten careless. It can happen. It ain't easy to keep concentrating all the time, not with things the way they are. I've tried not to mess with their property too much. Wouldn't be decent. That gun and the food is all I really need. But I'm getting off the subject again. This is Billy's story. It ain't mine. And the thing was, as soon as he walked into town like that, you could see that something was different. I guess I should have known that he meant trouble. But you get bored with nothing to do all day, and the radio and TV giving out nothing but static. I should have just shot him right then. At first, you know, you take every shot you can get. But after a while, you get to realizing that there's always going to be more of them than you got bullets. However many bullets you got, there'll always be more of them. So maybe that's what I was thinking when I didn't take my shot on Billy. Or maybe it was because he looked so much like my kid when he was walking up Main Street. Or maybe it was just that I was bored and here was something happening. I suppose it don't matter much. Either way, he could see that he was a bit smarter, and he wasn't just going to settle down to blundering about with the rest of them. First off, he walked all around the house across the street, and every so often he'd bang on a board or something, like he was testing the place. Then, when he got done with that, he came and did the same to mine. I could hear him scratching on that window where I'd gotten in. I gotta say, I was impressed. You get sick of the stupid way they act, like they're dumb, lazy children, and it starts to grate on your nerves after a while. It was nice to see one of them showing a bit of initiative, even if it did look like he was going to spell trouble. I wasn't too worried for myself. I checked the boards every morning, and every so often I'd hammer up another couple, more for something to do than anything, because like I said, they'd pretty much given up trying to get in. But I didn't know about the family across the road. I didn't know whether they were taking precautions or not. The place looked okay from the outside. Sounds kind of stupid now, but I didn't like to pry too much. I knew that there were four of them. I figured they were a husband and wife and two kids, but that was as far as I'd got. It's a wide street. I couldn't see much without the sight, and that just felt too much like, I don't know, like I was some kind of pervert. Even with everything all screwed up like this, people have got to have some right to privacy, haven't they? There wasn't any way we could talk to each other. If the phones had been working, I guess I could have looked them up in the book, I guess. Or maybe I could have put a sign up. But I didn't know if they'd have any way to read it, so I just tried to leave them alone as much as I could. Billy obviously got it into his head that they were a better bet. Because after the first day, he didn't bother with me too much. But I kept my eye on him, because he was interesting. At least he was compared to the others. And because they were everywhere, as far as you could see, they were about all there was to look at. It was the same for them. They were curious, as much as they could be. Who was this, walking around like he had some kind of agenda or something? In the meanwhile, Billy had taken a project on himself. The second day after he walked into town, he picked himself out a particular window round on the right-hand side of the family house, just after where the porch ended. Even with the scope, I could barely make him out there. There was the porch and a big old tree in the way, and I could just about see him moving around, but that was it. Of course, I could have guessed what he'd been up to. He must have decided there was a weak spot. He thought maybe if he kept going at it, he'd be able to get in sooner or later. I didn't give him much for his chances. There was no way they wouldn't have heard him there, and if they thought there was any chance of him getting through, they'd be hammering up two new boards for every one he managed to get off. At least, that's what I'd be doing. Probably he'd get bored after a day or two and go to sitting and wandering like the rest of them. That thought made me kind of sad somehow. I mean, God knows it wasn't like I wanted him to succeed or nothing. I just didn't want to have to watch him give up, either. Shit, I don't know. Maybe it was like I wanted to see him make something of himself. I didn't want him to wind up like my Billy did. Yeah, it sounds pretty stupid, I know that. I guess I don't know what I was thinking. It just seemed like it would be a shame, is all. When I got up the next day, he was still at it. But it wasn't just that. He'd gathered himself an audience as well. A lot of the others, maybe there was 100, maybe even more, and gathered around on the lawn.
Some of them were standing, but a lot were just sitting around, like he was putting on a performance for them or something. I still couldn't make out exactly what Billy himself was up to. It got to be frustrating. What could he be doing to get all of their attentions like that? After a while, I started hunting around for a better view. Then I remembered that there was a ladder to the attic. And sure enough, once I got up there, there was a big window looking out over the street. The room had been converted. It looked like it was a kid's room, but the kid had left and the parents hadn't wanted to change it any. The window was so big I could sit up on the ledge. And from there, sure enough, I could see Billy pretty clear. It was quite a shock. I ain't ever seen one of them go at anything the way he was at those planks, tearing at them with his hands over and over. His fingers were all bloody. With the sight, I reckoned I could make out bits of bone where he'd torn the ends clean off. He was a mess. But that wasn't slowing him up any. I guess he wasn't even feeling it. He just kept tearing at those planks, not paying any attention to anything else. He'd got a couple down already. They were laying on the grass next to him. I didn't figure it was going to do him any good, though. The family would be putting up more on the inside, and if he started on those, then they'd just have put up some more. And even if he was a bit stronger and a bit smarter than the rest, he still wasn't about to keep up. Still, the way he was going at it, it was hard to take your eyes off. Apart from a break at lunchtime, I watched Billy all day, till it started to get too dark. The last I saw, he was about halfway there on the outside planks. He was still at it when I left him. I suppose the dark didn't bother him too much. I got up early the next day and shifted all my supplies up into the attic room, along with a gas stove I'd found. It was like he'd become the center of my life all of a sudden. I remember thinking how it was just like those other dumb bastards were sitting out there on the lawn, watching him like he was the star attraction in a freak show. Only when I got up to my perch on the sill, they weren't sitting anymore. They were in a big mass now, with Billy right there in the center, that nice suit of his, and every single one of them was after getting into that window. Maybe 20 of them were clawing at the planks. Altogether, I could tell straight away that whatever the family were doing on the inside, there wasn't anything that could stop that. The sheer weight of all those bodies, all together. Sure enough, it was only about a minute after I got up there that the whole thing caved in, planks and bodies all falling in together. I remember some crazy part of my brain thinking it was like Billy had been waiting for me, as if he liked that he got an audience. I didn't do anything. What would have been the point? If the family had been on the other side, and I figured they must have been, then they'd have been dead about the moment those planks gave up. I wasn't feeling much either. Like maybe I was in shock. They kept on climbing through the window, all of them, fighting each other to get in like it was the only thing that had ever mattered to them. Even once the room was full, they kept on going, till there was just a few of them left on the lawn, and even they were still pushing and shoving. It was quiet. A weird kind of quiet, considering what had just happened. But I didn't even notice it until the screaming started. And then it seemed strange there being a noise, because I'd gotten so used to it being so quiet all the time. I had to put down the rifle for a second, just so I could look to see where it was coming from. It was up on the second floor, on the far side from where they'd gotten in. The little daughter, maybe she was about 12 years old. They must have locked her in there, thinking that she'd be safer, maybe. She was hanging half out the window, and she was screaming. She wasn't looking at me. I don't know if she knew I was there. She was screaming for somebody to help her, or just screaming. There wasn't a thing I could have done for her. If she'd gotten out onto the porch and down to the road, maybe then I could have done something, but there was no way to tell her that. I picked up the rifle again. I don't know why. whether I was thinking to get some of them before they got to her, or whether I thought I'd make it easier on her. That's what I should have done, I guess. I don't know if I even thought of it then. It's just, it's a hard thing to think. You know, I think I guessed that it was going to be Billy that got to her first. At least I wasn't a bit surprised when he appeared. The girl didn't even realize he was there. She was so caught up with her screaming. It was a long double window, and there was a couple of feet between them still. Billy was shuffling up like he had all the time in the world, and I had a good, clean shot. It would have taken his head right off. I squeezed on the trigger, and then I stopped. All I could think about was how I'd been happier since Billy had walked up Main Street, and about how much he'd looked like my kid. Maybe he was one of them, but he was smart. And did I have the right to kill him? And somewhere there was a voice in my head saying, "You can't get them all. There just ain't enough bullets. One of them's gonna get her. And why shouldn't it be Billy?" I knew that I was wrong. If I could buy her a bit more time, then maybe she'd wake up and get out onto the porch. I went to take the shot again, but by then, it was too late. Billy lurched forward, and he got a hold of her head, with his bloody stumps of hands that he had left. And he bit down hard into her cheek, and then he just stayed like that, with his mouth covering half of her face, almost like he was kissing her, except for the blood streaming down between them, pouring out all over his nice suit. I could see his jaw moving through the sight. And suddenly he didn't look like my kid no more. He just looked like a monster. I pulled the trigger. For a couple of seconds, his head was just a red cloud, with the blood raining down over everything. When it cleared, he was still standing there. And even though there wasn't anything to hold it up, his face was still clamped over hers. I pulled the trigger again, and they both crumpled down. I knew she was dead anyway, but it didn't make it feel any better. So, that's the end of Billy's story. And I guess it's the end of mine as well. Yesterday, I found this old tape recorder, and I just wanted to talk it all through, I suppose. Get it out in the open. Probably no one's going to ever hear it, but maybe there'll be a day when this is all over, and maybe there's something we could learn from it. Maybe everyone will try and forget as quick as they can, and they'd be better off remembering. Because what I've been thinking is, the worst thing that they've done to us, it ain't killing us. It's making us be like them. Making us so we can't feel anything. Whether they get to you or not, you start getting a little less human every day. You get deader inside. Or, I don't know, maybe I was always like this. I haven't ever cried for Barbara and my little girl. Not once. And even though I miss them so bad it hurts, something in me just can't do it. But then I didn't cry for Billy either. Seeing them put him in the ground, I was just angry. And wondering why he had to do a stupid, selfish thing like that. Shit, I know I wasn't a good father to him, but if he'd just talked to me, then there has to have been something I could have said. But I guess that I understand Billy a little bit better now. I wish he was here and I could tell him that, instead of talking to this dumb machine. But one of the policemen said to me Billy didn't really know what he was doing. Because nobody shoots themselves in the chest. In the mouth, he said. With the barrel facing upwards. That's the best way. It'd be hell to do with that rifle. But I was lucky. There is a couple of bullets left in the revolver. And I'll only need the one. I guess what I was trying to say before, what they've taught us, is that being alive ain't the same as living. And me, I figure I'm already dead. At least now, I'll get to stay that way.
Now I know what you're probably thinking. That comment I made about New Orleans is a bit of a stretch, right? Maybe so, maybe so. But the fact is, that place is still a wreck, an absolute mess. I know people with family down there, and that place can really use all the help it can get. I'm going to link to a highly rated charitable organization in the show notes for this week. Please join me in sending them a little help. Please go to pseudopod.org and look under episode 44 for the link. I'll also include a relatively recent report on the state of things and what exactly they're doing about it. Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and produced under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives 2.5 license. Tune in next week for more scary shit. This has been Phillips for Pseudopod.